your favorite young actress, Amy Adams, Emma Watson. Now imagine the tabloid reaction if they suddenly became a nun. That's what actress Dolores Hart did. In the late 50s and 60s, she kissed Elvis not once but twice on film. She says he was a dream to work with. She was also on Broadway and in the cast of the wildly successful spring break classic Where the Boys Are. In this scene, she's the one who wants to study.
Just feel that sun. I'm going to soak it up through every exposable pore.
Me too. Hey, let's get a 10 to end all 10s. How about it, Mayor?
All I want is some peace and quiet and a chance to study.
Oh, you sure picked the right spot for it. Last year, there were only 20,000 kids down here. Why don't we all admit it?
Admit what?
We're going to Lauderdale for one reason. To meet boys.
Dolores Hart was a star. She was like a daughter to Anthony Quinn and Gary Cooper. She was engaged. But in 1963, at the age of 24, she stunned the film industry and became a cloistered Benedictine nun, entering the Abbey of Regina Laudis in Bethlehem, Connecticut, where she's pretty much remained for 50 years. Her story was told in the 2012 documentary God is the Bigger Elvis. Now she's telling it herself in her memoir The Ear of the Heart, An Actress's Journey from Hollywood to Holy Vows, and also telling it in a book tour that brought her out of the cloistered world to our studios. Mother Dolores, welcome.
Thank you very much, Robin.
And this is so many different stories in one book, the story of your life, because it also includes the story of a chaotic life early on with alcoholic parents. As a young child, you saw your dad, a minor actor, pull a knife on your mom. I mean, there was violence.
Yes, I went into the closet and wrote a letter to my grandmother. This is not an appropriate place for a child to be grown up.
Well, isn't this the story of someone just looking for some refuge from that?
Well, if I was looking for refuge, I'm not sure a cloistered Benedictine life would be the answer, because there what you do is you pray for the suffering of the world. And you hear so many guests who come to talk to you, people write to you. I suppose, in a certain way, I was being prepared for my mission.
As a child, yeah. Well, you write about your conversion, your religious experience as a child, but there was also a competing experience because your grandfather, who you lived with as a child, he was a projectionist in a movie theater.
Oh, yes.
And this was like a religious experience, the way you describe it, looking up and seeing the films on the big screen. Then you're one of them. And, I mean, 2021, 22, 23, it's just quite something to read how well you did. Elvis and, you know, Anthony Quinn, and you loved it, but what?
Well, I think I always loved it. I think the voice of sorrow, that was named Dolores. It's Dolor. I grew up always with that awareness that suffering is something to be faced. For me, the seed had been planted many, many years before. My great aunt was a nun. Her name was Sister Dolores Marie, for whom I was named. And I was a convert as a Catholic when I was 9 years old.
So obviously the seeds were there. You'd visited the Abbey of Regina Laudis for retreats, for rest.
That's right. Well, I was in a play in New York City, and I would get very tired. A friend of mine suggested I go to this monastery.
Yeah. So you'd done all of this, but why a contemplative nun? A priest who was a friend of yours said, why not the nun that goes out and builds housing in Latin America? You know, why the nun that... And actually, to play, probably in some minds, literally devil's advocate here, what is the benefit of the contemplative life? People removed from the world, very self-centered, as opposed to going out and helping others?
Well, I didn't know really what was what at that time. I just knew that when I went to Regina Laudis, I was in the place that I knew was where I was called. It's like falling in love. You meet a certain person and no matter who they are or what they are, if you love them, that way of life, that spirit of devotion, that person can affect you and you will go around the world for them.
Yeah. What does the cloistered life do?
I think, first of all, the main work of the Abbey is the divine office of the church, which is a very ancient form of sung prayer together. It's a marvelous experience. And you must, at some point, come to believe that prayer is very effective. Our abbess once told me, we were talking about the same question, and she said, you know, every time I go into the office, I wonder, is somebody ready to push a button for a bomb? And I pray that that hand will go somewhere else. You pray because why talk to somebody you love?
Yeah. It's obvious you don't regret the decision you made, even though you were scared at first it was the wrong one.
No.
Yeah.
No, in fact, I wonder who was praying for me, because I had the most incredible gift of my career, and then the capacity to move into something that was really the blessing of my life.
But you literally haven't left the monastery in almost 5 decades. You had a brief 48-hour foray to California because of the documentary you were a part of. Pretty much you have been cloistered within that monastery.
Yes.
What's it like now to travel to different cities and talk? What's the world feel like?
Well, I thank God for Judith, because she's my assistant, and she's been able to tell me, you push that button and something will come out that's liquid, you know, or don't do this or that, or you can't flush the toilet, or don't even worry about flushing because it does itself. I mean, there's from top to bottom, everything is a different place. Who would ever think you could pick up a little thing on your belt and call England?
Well, your former fiancé, who has been faithful to you these decades, these many decades, has never remarried, gave you an iPhone.
Yes.
So you can call anywhere,
you
but
can.
Also you can Google. You can...
At times, like you're walking into a heavenly world. This is the way that we're going to go into a new world. It's going to be made by those who will do it. How can you explain? I don't have any idea what heaven would be like, except when I am now in the world, I think, wow, 50 years ago, I would never have seen that.
So here you are seeing the world. How are we going to keep you down on the farm? Is there a part of you now maybe having the regrets you didn't have 50 years ago? Or
No, because I have fallen in love with my abbey, and I love my community. I can be away from them just so much, and my heart says, go home.
That's Mother Dolores Hart with Richard Danute. They are co-authors of The Ear of the Heart, An Actress Journey from Hollywood to Holy Vows. Mother Dolores, thanks so much.
Thank you. It's been wonderful to talk to you.
And she's drinking Pepsi. I just want to say. That's the first thing I do if I left her left an abbey. Where's the vending machine?
We ain't got one of them. Now if I could write to the abbess and say I've got a few more changes to introduce.
And by the way, Jeremy, Mother Dolores is probably also the only cloistered nun who receives screeners of films still. She's a member of the Academy, and
wow.
She votes for the Oscars in her cloistered monastery. Quite a story. From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is Here and Now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from the Institute of Contemporary Art with Amy Sillman. One Lump or Two, Vivid Abstract Paintings and Drawings, closes January 5th, icaboston.org.